In the beleaguered world of publishing right now, there is a central question. It's always been there, but technology is making it more pointed and painful. Do consumers choose to find their news and go to the places they trust, or do news sources chase consumers by going where they actually are? The New York Times is answering that question with a resounding both. Starting today, the New York Times will partner with Facebook to publish directly onto the social media platform, pushing content to Facebook users without having to go to the Times site, avoiding their website advertising and getting a speed advantage in loading the Times content. Joining me now is Gabriel Sherman, National Affairs Editor at New York Magazine. Gabe, is there a way to quantify the specific advantages for using Facebook?
Well, what's clear to me covering this story is that the biggest winner, the clearest advantage is to Facebook. This entire program is designed to keep readers and Facebook audience within the walled garden of Facebook. And so I think the big battle now is going to be, what are publishers getting out of this arrangement? Yes, they're going to get some money, but are they going to retain that crucial relationship with the readers and bring them back either to the pages of their magazines and newspapers or to their own websites?
Is the content contributors, I mean, are they contributors to Facebook and treated that way? And so Facebook would have some sort of editorial control, placement, that sort of thing?
Well, that is one of the biggest unknowns of this deal. And,
right.
And the information coming out, it has not been clear. Facebook controls the algorithm by which users see headlines in their news feeds. And they are not, as from my understanding, turning that over to publishers. And so publishers are basically saying to Facebook, we are going to trust you to not suppress our content. And the clearest example I can think of is if the New York Times commissions a major investigation into Facebook's privacy practices, would Facebook put that onto their news feed on it, you know, for their readers? And that's a big unknown.
Does the Times determine what content goes to Facebook? Can they choose which articles go and don't? Or is it up to Facebook to take whatever comes through the Times website and put that on?
No. So the New York Times is choosing which articles to share on Facebook. And right now they're starting with a very limited number. They're kind of branding this as an experiment. But it's not illogical to think that as this future develops and more readers just basically hang out and spend their time, all of their time surfing on Facebook, that the Times would essentially have to chase those readers and start turning over more and more of their articles onto the Facebook platform.
And the Facebook platform becomes more like a Google homepage. I mean, that's just an old sort of outmoded nomenclature, homepage. But basically, people are on the internet exclusively within the borders of Facebook increasingly, and that's really the advantage here.
You know, that's basically what you've distilled is the essence of what is happening to the internet. Facebook wants to control the mobile internet, and there's a sort of a future that Facebook envisions, which is that when you go think of the internet on your mobile phone, you basically just think of Facebook. And they are trying to construct a world in which all of the internet lives within the walled garden of Facebook. And that is what I think ultimately is what's so dangerous for these publishers, because they are aligning themselves with a business that has very different commercial interests and commercial values than these publishers do.
And remember, Gabe, I mean, it was just a few years ago that people were saying, well, Facebook's doing okay, but they haven't figured out mobile. They haven't been able to monetize mobile. And now, look, they've basically caused a revolution here.
Yes, and that is, you know, one of the other big lessons from this partnership that we're learning is that basically Facebook has cracked the code of mobile. They've created an advertising platform that works on mobile, and now publishers are having to flock there in hopes of capturing those eyeballs and the revenue that Facebook is able to generate.
Is it possible that this is a good thing for everyone in the sense that nothing gets cannibalized here? There's just a rising tide of more boats, and that Facebook becomes the sort of free introduction to the New York Times. And if you want to buy their content, you go to their site.
Well, you've articulated, I think, the rosy view that New York Times executives hope is the case, is that this is going to broaden the audience of New York Times readers, expose more people, especially younger people, to the New York Times, and they will convert them to paying subscribers. I think that is an optimistic view, but it's too early to tell. But yes, that is the hope here.
Gabriel Sherman, National Affairs Editor at New York Magazine. Thanks so much, Gabe.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.